Good evening. I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. You can breathe a sigh of relief. We're not looking at all of Psalm 119, but the pay selection, verse 129 through 136. Psalm 119, verse 129 through 136. This is on page 548. If you've got one of the Bibles there in your seats. So let me just reiterate what I said this morning. Our family is just so thankful for this time we've had with you, and we have been blessed, and we're so appreciative of you having us among you for these last months, and we will miss you all, and just want to express our deep gratitude to all of you. So, but let's focus our attention on God's Word together tonight. Psalm 119, verse 129 through 136. Please hear now the Word of God. Your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul keeps them. The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for your commandments. Look upon me and be merciful to me, as your custom is towards those who love your name. Direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. Redeem me from the oppression of man, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. Rivers of water run down from my eyes, because men do not keep your law. That's where we'll end the reading of God's word. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that your testimonies would be wonderful to us, because they are wonderful. We pray that you would pour out the light of your truth among us from your word tonight. Make your face shine upon us. Lord, speak to us, for your servants are listening. Lord, keep us from distracting thoughts and help us to focus our attention on you and what you have to say to us tonight from Psalm 119. And we pray this all with faith in Jesus' name. Amen. We are living in dark times. From recent rulings of the so-called conservative Supreme Court, to a major economic depression, to the coronavirus, to violent protests, to great social unrest, to an ever-widening divide in our country, and a church struggling to navigate all this and still keep peace and make progress amidst it all. We're living in times where many are hostile to light and life. Dark times. Times like Isaiah's day when he said, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness." These are dark times. But the problems are not just all out there. We're not just in the big cities, not just in Washington, D.C. There's darkness and sin in our own neighborhoods, in our communities. People are lost. They're helpless. They're struggling. They're in the dark, stumbling in the dark. And then there's also darkness and sin in the church. Darkness and sin remaining in our own hearts, even as believers. But how do we respond to all this? How do we live in the midst of this darkness? Often I think we can easily respond with anger and discouragement, fear and despair. arguing, hatred as we look outside to the darkness around us. But how should we respond? How should we live in these dark times? Can we have hope? Well, Psalm 119, and especially verses 129 through 136, say yes, there is hope and there is a way to live and to respond in dark times. And that hope is found in the light of God's Word. How should we respond in dark times? Take up the light of God's Word. Go to God's Word. Cling to its promises. Be in awe of its wonder. And respond with compassion and sorrow when darkness of lawlessness is preferred to the light of God's Word. And seek to live by the light of God's Word all the more in the midst of the darkness. That's what we see when we look at Psalm 119. You know, we may think we're living in really, really dark times, but in many ways, we're not all that unique. The psalmist here in Psalm 119, he looked around and he had reason to be discouraged. He felt outnumbered. So many did not live by the Word of God. And yet the confidence of the psalmist in God's Word did not waver. He knew it was true. He knew it was God's Word. And tonight, in the face of the darkness of the world, the real darkness that is around us in the world and in our country and in our communities, in the face of this, we need to set our hearts on Psalm 119, which calls us to the remedy, calls us to see the purity and light and clarity and brilliance and truth and hope of God's Word. In light of the darkness in this world, in light of the sin still in our hearts, we need to see the light of God's Word. And what God's Word calls us to tonight from Psalm 119 is to live by the light of the Word in this dark world. In this dark world, we need the light of God's Word, and we have it. He has given it to us, and so we must cherish it and live by it. Well, as we look at this psalm together, this section of Psalm 119 briefly, I want to do so by considering 3 points. But first of all, some of you may know Psalm 119 is an acrostic, and it has a section for each of the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, and they each focus on the Word of God. And our section is the pay section, and I want to just highlight 3 actions that I think this section calls us to in relation to the Word of God and in light of the dark times that we're living in. And so how should we use the light of the world, the light of God's Word, in our dark times? Well, first of all, we need to behold its brilliance. Behold the brilliance of God's Word. Recognize that it is a bright light. Look again at verse 129. Your testimonies are wonderful, therefore my soul keeps them. Your testimonies are wonderful. When is the last time you opened your Bible or you sat and heard God's Word, God's testimonies read, and you thought, this is wonderful? God, your Word is wonderful. Why did the psalmist think that? Why did he say this? Why should you and I see the wonder of God's Word? Well, first of all, as he says in verse 130, it's because God's Word gives light and understanding. Look at verse 130. The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. When God's Word enters, when it is unfolded, when it's opened for us and poured into our lives, when He uses His Word in our life, it's like turning the light on in a dark room. It brings truth and clarity and understanding. It shows us what actually is. It replaces darkness, ignorance, and impurity. And so it's wonderful. It's amazing. The psalmist is like a kid with his very first flashlight. He gets this flashlight and he runs into a dark room and shines it all around, and he delights in the mysterious light. He's no longer afraid of the dark. Is God's word like that for us? Do we see it as wonderful? Are we excited about it? Do we use it as a light? Do we hold it with wonder? Does it give us courage? Is it a beacon of light and truth in darkness? Sadly, there are many churches and many Christians who have the Word of God, but they're really not unfolding the Word of God. They're not letting it enter into them. They're not opening it up. They're not emphasizing it and teaching it. They're not using it to impart understanding. But they're really shrouding it and detracting from its brilliance. And many Christians are not living by the light of God's word as well. And may God change that. May God keep us from that. God's word is the wonderful, brilliant light that we need. And it's so wonderful that the psalmist says he pants for it. Look at verse 131. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for your commandments. Now, what's he talking about here, panting for the word of God? Well, picture a dog in the summer, on a hot summer day. He's thirsty and he's panting. He's opening his mouth because he needs to quench his thirst, longing for water. And if you give him a bowl of water, he drains the bowl very quickly. Psalmist, this is how he longs for the brilliant word of God. He panted for it, and he drank it down, and he wanted more. He couldn't quench his thirst enough. Is this true of us? Are we thirsty for God's word? Are we panting for it? The psalmist saw the word as brilliant and desirable, and he longed for it. And one of the ways he expresses that in Psalm 119 is with all the different words he uses for the word of God. And there are 8 regular, repeated, different words that are used all throughout Psalm 119 for God's word. And they each have a different, slight different meaning and nuance. But we have 6 of them in our text: testimonies, words, commandments, precepts, statutes, and law. And each one has a different nuance and subtle variation that speaks to the significance and brilliance and wonder and breadth and depth and use of God's word. In the darkness of our world, we need to fix our gaze on the brilliant light of the word of God. It needs to be wonderful to you. We need to be able to say and truly mean it. Psalm 119, verse 121, your testimonies are wonderful. Now, it's one thing to say that, to hold to the word of God, to the infallibility and the authority of the word of God, but do we live that way? Do we act on it? Do we pant for it? Is that a way you could describe your longing for God's word? I open my mouth and I pant for it. I can't wait for it to be poured in. Do we act as though God's word truly contains truth, good news, light, the power of God for the salvation of all who believe? We need to behold the brilliance of God's word in this dark world. Well, it's not enough just to see the Bible as wonderful and brilliant and to hold intellectually to its truth and power. We must also seek to live by its light. And I want us to consider that second tonight. We need to behold the brilliance of God's word and know that it is a light and be in awe of it, but we need to use it and live by its light in our lives. Look again at verse 129. Your testimonies are wonderful, therefore my soul keeps them. The testimonies of God are a wonderful, brilliant light, but it's not just to be on display. It's to be our ever-present guide. It's to guide us. It's to show us how to live. It's to be kept and observed. And notice the psalmist says, therefore my soul keeps them. The word therefore ties his keeping of God's testimonies to the wonder of it. Keeping God's word is wonderful. It's not, well, I get punished if I don't. If it's true and wonderful, why would we not want to live by it and keep it? It's a gracious privilege to be given His Word and to be enabled to live by it. The psalmist is not expressing an outward, legalistic, self-righteous keeping of God's Word. He's talking about an internal, spiritual keeping of God's Word, not something that's merely external. And that's why he says, my soul keeps God's word. My soul keeps your testimonies. This is what Jesus talked about on the Sermon on the Mount. Outward legalistic obedience to his word is hypocritical. That's never the point. That's never taught in God's word. God wants a heart, a soul that loves him and obeys him and keeps his word. To keep God's word with the soul is to love God with all our heart and soul and strength and mind, and to love our neighbor as ourself. The psalmist also knows that he doesn't keep God's word perfectly. He's a good theologian. He knows he's not perfect yet. He knows his own heart. And yet striving to keep God's word is not incompatible with grace. Rather, it flows from it. Look at what the psalmist says in 132, verse 132. Look upon me and be merciful to me. He's pleading for God's mercy. And in the next verse, he asks for God's help to not let sin, not let iniquity get dominion over him. The psalmist was just as in need of a Savior, just as in need of God's mercy as we are. Be merciful and don't let iniquity rule over me. Is this your prayer? Because you want to live by the light of God's word. The psalmist goes on and asks God as well to direct his steps by his word in verse 133. He wants to be kept from stumbling by the sure, unmovable word of God as he walks in this life. He knows he's surrounded by lawless men. He knows he's living in a dark world. He knows there are temptations and pitfalls, rocks that'll cause him to stumble. And so he says, direct my steps by your word and let no iniquity have dominion over me. It's easy to take our eyes off of the word of God to doubt and despair. And so the psalmist asks God to keep him on the path of his word. And God's word does this. It guides us in the truth. It protects us. And then look at verse 134. He asks God to redeem him from man's oppression so he could keep God's precepts. We don't know the exact oppression or sin that the psalmist was dealing with here. But his remedy was turning to God and his word, seeking to walk by the light of the word in the darkness of this world. What is your response to sin, to the darkness in your own life, to the darkness in the world around you, to oppression and problems? How should the church respond? We need to turn to God's word. We need to cry out for his mercy and help. We need to be guided all the more in these times by his word. We need to live by its light, because in that is freedom and joy and peace and salvation and safety and hope in a dark world and in dark times. Well, behold the brilliance of God's word. But don't stop there. Live by its light. And then third and finally, I want you to see how Psalm 119 here calls you also to weep. to weep for those lost without it. Now, that might sound like a strange response. You're going to see that that was the response of the psalmist here at the end of this section. But look first with me at verse 135. Verse 135, make your face shine upon your servant and teach me your statutes. The psalmist knows he needs God's help to live by the light of the word. And so he prays for the light of God's face, the favor and the blessing of God. He wants that to be upon him so that he can learn and live by his word. He wants the opposite of God's anger, the hiding of God's face. And he's asking for this because the world around him lacks that. And it moves him to tears. Look at what he says at the end of our section in verse 136. Rivers of water run down from my eyes because men do not keep your law. Rivers of water run down from my eyes. You know, the psalmist knows the sweetness of God's shining face, the warmth of God's shining face, His grace and His mercy. He knows the blessings and the freedom and the joy of God's Word. He knows the light of it. And He has purpose and truth in His life. And because of that, when he sees the world around him in the darkness, he can't help but weep. He is overwhelmed with sorrow for those who refuse the light of God's word, those who are stumbling in the darkness, those who are not keeping God's law. And we get a glimpse here of how real and intense his love for God and his word is. Because he's moved not just to tears, but to rivers of water running down from his eye. Rivers of water, tears for those without God's word. And he can't bear to think about them stumbling in the dark, lost without it. And it's not like he looks out and pities them in pride and says, wow, look how bad they are. Look how such poor things they are. No, he knows that he is no different, and he would be just as lost and just as rebellious apart from God's mercy, apart from the light of God's face that he's just asked for, apart from the light of God's word shining into his life. And his heart breaks for those who don't know the grace and the truth and the light of God and his word. And friends, we need to also weep for those who do not keep God's law, who reject it, who are in darkness. We need to weep when that is the case in our own lives, when we don't keep God's law. We need to genuinely weep over our sin and over the world living in sin when they ignore and disobey the word of God. In one sense, it shouldn't surprise us because they're unbelievers, because they're sinners. They are spiritually dead. I mean, what would we expect? And yet we should still be moved to tears and compassion and sorrow. We also need to weep for Christians, for brothers and sisters during times of rebellion or backsliding. So quickly we speak about them negatively or want to fix their problems but do we ever stop and simply weep for them for not keeping God's law with the heart? I don't think this is sorrow just over the world here in Psalm 119, out of the darkness in the world, from the darkness in the world. But I think the psalmist weeps about the remaining darkness even among God's people. And we've already seen the psalmist himself knows that he at times fails to keep God's law. And he responds with humility and sorrow. Do we respond with godly sorrow, with repentance for sin in our own lives, for the sin around us, with sorrow and pity and compassion? When was the last time you cried over the condition of the lost, over your own sin, over the darkness and brokenness in this world, or over the sin among God's people, lawlessness in our country, because God is ignored, because His word is trampled and dishonored and profaned and ignored? When's the last time you wept or had genuine sorrow in your heart because of the judgment that awaits those without God and without hope who remain in the darkness? We can so easily react with anger and discouragement that sometimes we need to just weep and have genuine compassion and grief. And remember, this is what God saved us out of. This is where we would be apart from His word, apart from His grace. This is actually a pattern that we see in Scripture. Godly sorrow and compassion. Weeping. Jeremiah wept for Israel when they rejected God and His word. He's sometimes called the weeping prophet. The Apostle Paul in Acts 17, verse 16, he didn't throw up his hands in disgust or despair because of the idolatry he saw in Athens. But it says there in Acts 17 that his spirit was provoked within him as he saw the city was full of idols. He had compassion. His heart was gripped and moved, and he went on to reason gently with them and to preach the gospel. We see this same heart of compassion and sorrow in Jesus as well. Luke says Jesus wept over Jerusalem during the triumphal entry. Another time he cried, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing." Or in Matthew 9:36, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest." Brothers and sisters, when we see the darkness in the world around us, even in the church and still in our hearts, we need to respond with godly sorrow. We need to respond like the psalmist, like Paul, like Jesus, with compassion, with sorrow, with a desire for the gospel to go out into the harvest. Especially as our culture wanders further and further from God's word. Be thankful for God's word, the light of truth. Walk by its light, but don't be satisfied to walk in it alone. Weep for those lost without it, straying from it. Be moved in compassion to weep and pray and love and share the light with them. Well, can we have hope in dark times? I hope you can see that we can. We have the light of God's word, and more than ever, we need to cling to it and rally around it and be guided by it and look to the light of the world. Many today claim freedom and progress and enlightenment, the freedom and right to live how they want. But so-called freedom to break God's word, to ignore God's word, is not freedom but slavery. Living without the word is not enlightened progress. It's stumbling in the darkness. John chapter 1 says, "The true light which gives light to everyone has come into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, yet the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and his own did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And of course, John is speaking of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the light of the world. He is the light of God's word, the brightest light shining in all of the scriptures. And he, the true light, is the ultimate hope for us in our dark world. He sets people free. He gives life and happiness and peace, the right to become children of God, instead of the right to live by our own ever-changing sense of morality and truth. Friends, you need to live by the light of the Word, the light of the world, Jesus Christ, in these dark times. We need not be overcome with despair or anger, but hold fast to the brilliant, clear light of God's Word. The call to each one of you tonight is to live by the light of the Word in this dark world. Will you? Are you living by the light that God has given us? Do you behold its brilliance? Do you live in its light? Will you weep for those without it? Is there cause for concern and sorrow? Is there real sin and darkness in our time? Yes, as in every time. But brothers and sisters, take hope. God has given you the light. Look to the light of His Word. Look to the light of Jesus Christ, the light of the world, and have life. Live by the light of the Word in this dark world. Amen. Let's pray. Father, your testimonies are wonderful. And the entrance of your words gives light. And Lord, how we need that light in this dark world, when temptations are many and discouragements are many, and when the draw of sin and the world is strong. When we look around and see many who do not keep your law, Lord, let us respond with compassion, not with pride, but with humility, knowing that this is what you've saved us from. This is where we would be apart from the light of your word, apart from the good news coming to us and you giving us life by your Holy Spirit through the work of Christ. So give us compassion. Lord, give us an awe and a wonder that you would have given us the light of your word. And let us walk by its light boldly, being protected and guided by you. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the light of the world. And let each and every one here and many more put their faith in you. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.